This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A new word for search.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. So far, Google has taken on all comers and trounced them. It has more than 60% of the search engine market. The word Google is in the dictionary. But some former Googlers are going to try to compete with their old company. This morning, they launched a new search engine called Cool. It's spelled C-U-I-L. Comes from an old Irish word meaning knowledge. We asked our innovations reporter, Janet Babin, to check it out. She reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Cool says its search index spans 120 billion web pages. That would make it three times larger than search leader Google. The broader the index, the larger the potential results. Carl Howe is with technology research company Yankee Group. He says a broader search index won't be enough to push Cool ahead of the pack.
More results are not necessarily better. What I want is better results. And that's really the place where I think they're going to have to shine.
I used Google to find Cool's webpage. Then I searched for Marketplace. The show came up first on both pages. Cool's results look different, displayed in magazine blurbs with more photos. Maybe the biggest difference between the two sites isn't the results, but the search record. Cool has promised not to store user search histories or web surfing patterns like Google does. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street has some things to chew on this morning. The private equity firm Kohlberg Kravis Roberts says it's going public, and Kraft and Verizon had decent profit reports. But so far, the Dow is down 39 points to 11,331. The NASDAQ is down a couple. The S&P 500 is flat so far. European shares are mostly lower, and there were mixed results in Asia today. The price of oil is $125 a barrel. It's dropped $20 in the past 2 weeks. The main reason? People are driving less. In fact, the Transportation Department has a report out today that says Americans have reduced their driving by 40 billion miles this year. But that's not going to show up in the profit reports of the big oil companies. Amy Scott has more.
Analysts say most of the big oil companies will turn in record profits this week. No surprise there. The price of oil averaged more than $120 a barrel between April and June. That's almost double prices the year before. Analyst Phil Weiss follows the business for Argus Research. He says he's hoping to learn a bit more this week about how the oil companies plan to use that money. They've come under fire for spending more buying stock back from investors than finding new oil.
From a long-term perspective, I'd rather see them put it into projects than put it into stock buybacks, because if they buy back stock, they're not really growing the company.
And they're not helping relieve high prices. But buybacks do please shareholders. They boost the value of the stock, and oil shares have fallen recently. Analysts say that's because oil company stocks track oil prices, which have come down from their summer highs. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Just when you think you've heard every advertising pitch, Dr. Pepper launches a new campaign today. It's based on research that people who drink Dr. Pepper slowly enjoy it more than people who drink it at regular speed. I'm not making this up. And that people who drink slowly like to drink Dr. Pepper. I guess they're running out of ideas after 123 years in business. The company has hired two doctors as pitchmen. That would be Dr. J and Dr. Fraser Crane.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy, at gather.com.
Congress has finally approved a bill to help people facing foreclosure. The Senate passed it over the weekend. The bill also allows for a government bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac if need be. But it won't do anything about mortgage rates. And that's a big reason why nobody's buying and people can't sell.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine is here as usual on Mondays. Alan, the Fed cut interest rates for so long, and usually you see a spillover in the mortgage market. That just isn't happening. What's going on?
Well, up until, say, a year ago, when the junk mortgage market started melting down, zillions and zillions of dollars, many of them from overseas, were funding mortgages, you know, indirectly by buying securities that were assembled based on mortgages that lenders made. And a lot of that foreign money is gone. The U.S. money, the lenders have become, you know, much pickier. But it's an example of why when we talk about the Fed lowered interest rates, what we really should say every time is the Fed lowered short-term interest rates, because long-term interest rates might or might not head in the same direction as short rates.
Alan, give us a scenario here where you see things starting to loosen up and turn around.
Well, if the Fannie and Freddie thing stops going into, forgive me, atrial fibrillation, you know, every once in a while, sooner or later, housing prices will hit a bottom. Sooner or later, mortgage stuff will turn around. But I don't know when. And the current interest rate is about 6.4%. That's not really that expensive. It's just that it's not lower than it was when the Fed started. I don't know that 6.4 is an expensive rate.
Right.
It's just there are problems in the market.
So if inflation continues to pose a threat and the Fed does, in fact, raise interest rates at some point, what is that going to do to this situation?
Well, if you believe conventional theory, which I'm not sure I do, the conventional theory is mortgages are based on long-term rates and that long-term rates are based on fears of inflation. In theory, if the Fed raises short rates, it might actually lower mortgage rates. Hmm. I don't know that that would happen, but it definitely could.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
Scott, I was happy to be here.
And you're welcome to weigh in on this subject as well. Our website is marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.